Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So last week we had Palm Sunday, when the King came riding triumphantly into Jerusalem. But he was not a glorious, powerful, domineering, oppressive king. He was a king who came in meekness, having salvation. And he came to face his greatest contest, was his suffering and death upon the cross to redeem sinners from eternal damnation, which by their own fault they fully deserve and will indeed experience, lest they come to genuine Christian repentance. So then we went through Holy Weekend and we observed as the Lord Jesus suffered at the hands of Pontius Pilate and of the Sanhedrin, how he was nailed to the cross, how he was crucified, dead, and buried for the sins of the world. And we rejoiced that he was willing to pay such a price for us. And as we went through Good Friday and into Saturday, we prayed that we would not be unworthy of this great gift that he has given us, but that we would turn from the sins of the world and we would embrace the grace of God purchased and won for us in Christ Jesus. Now we celebrate the resurrection of the dead. But notice when you read the account, nobody actually witnessed the resurrection itself. Jesus rose from the dead and left the tomb. When the angel came and rolled back the stone, he wasn't doing it to let Jesus out, all right? Jesus was already gone. He was doing it to show that the resurrection had taken place. The stone rolled away from the door of the tomb was a sign he is risen. The women came early to the sepulcher, and the thing that was on their mind, other than their mourning and their sorrow, was how are we going to roll away that stone? Because the stone is very large. And when they came over the rise and they saw that the stone was rolled away, the Bible says that they were affrighted, right? They were frightened. The first thing they would have thought is grave robbers or something worse, right? Nobody was expecting a resurrection. Over and over and over again, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must be rejected by the elders. He must be crucified, suffer, and die. And he must rise again on the third day. But every time he tried to communicate this to them, they remained dull. They remained dull to it. And now they have been languishing since Friday in their sorrow and their sense of having failed him. Because not only has their faith run smack up against the brick wall of their Messiah's death on a shameful cross, not only has that happened, but every one of them in one way or another forsook him and fled. Right? Forsook him and fled. We're living in a time in the Holy Christian Church in our age where there are many people who have forsaken him and fled. All right? And so here these disciples, all Friday night, all Saturday throughout the day, and the sleepless night going into Sunday, they were not thinking, oh boy, he's going to rise again from the dead tomorrow. They were filled with sorrow, disappointment in themselves, and despair because they had sinned. Now The women, braver than the men, come to the tomb early in the morning, but when they see that the stone is rolled away, they are frightened. And then it says, as they looked, they saw the stone was great, for it was rolled away, for it was great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. So they were frightened by the stone being rolled away. They were frightened by the appearance of this angel who was sitting in the tomb. And he is sitting there in a bright white garment. And so the women see him and they're affrighted. And he says to them, now here's the thing. It's almost like a little bit of a comical thing here. The more that the angel tries to allay their fears, the more the women are like, feet don't fail me now, right? It's almost comical because it is a comedy. He rose again from the dead. It's not a tragedy. He didn't stay dead. We don't all live in despair. Only those who persist in their sins and rebellion against God. But to those who believe and trust in Jesus, we realize that whatever the troubles of life, life is a divine comedy. Because guess what? We're going to heaven. We are going to be part of the new heaven and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Thanks be to God. And we know this because the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. So the angel, he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And the women look over and they see that the place, he's not there. And the angel is like, you know, I'm here for your joy. I'm here. Don't be afraid. And the women are just like, in that moment, they're kind of just like transfixed at everything. But notice, he gives them a job to do. He says, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. All right? Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said to you. Now this is important, all right? The women are given a missionary task. And that missionary task is to tell the disciples that he's risen again and that they'll see him in Galilee. But notice how they say it. Tell his disciples and Peter. Why is that? Because remember on Good Friday evening when the Lord said to Peter, Peter boasted, I will never forsake you. I will never betray you. And Jesus said to him, Peter, before the cock crows thrice, you will deny me thrice. And so Peter said, no, never going to happen. Never going to happen. And it happened. And at the end of the story of Peter's denial, it says he went out and wept bitterly. So all of the disciples shared their failing of the Lord, how they had failed to understand, how they had failed to believe, how in his hour of need they ran away from him and didn't give two thoughts about his safety. They all forsook him and fled. Peter, they all are mourning about this and they're all sorrowful about it, but especially Peter, because Peter had boasted that he would be tough. He had boasted that he'd be willing to die if he had to rather than deny Christ. And he had, in a most pitiful and a most lily-livered manner, forsaken his Lord and denied that he even knew the man, right? And so the angel here says, says, tell Peter too, tell the disciples, and tell Peter too. That extra adding of the word of grace about Peter, so that Peter would not hang back and Peter would not think that this invitation was for him. And so everybody, no matter how much we have failed, there is forgiveness to those who realize their sin, to those who confess their sin, and to those who seek that they would be freed from it, and that they would be able to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, forsake such sins. And they went out quickly. So here's the last part of the resurrection story, anticlimactic. He said, they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. They fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to anyone, because they were afraid. So they got out of there as fast as they could. They were trembling and astonished. They didn't know which way they were going. You could almost picture them, you know, running in every different direction, bumping into each other, and before they finally came to themselves, right? This was a fright. First of all, it's always frightening to be confronted, no matter who you are, with a holy angel of the Lord. Remember on the birth of Christ, Christmas, the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds. What does the Bible say? They were sore afraid. Why? Because when you are standing face to face with true and living holiness, it makes you appear as a smudge in comparison. You never see the depth of your own sin so much as when you are confronted with what is holy. And so here, these women see an angel of the Lord, and he speaks his angelic message to them, and they are frightened down to the core of their beings. And by the way, this is one of the notes, this is one of the little notes about the Bible that show that the Bible is not a made-up bunch of mythological nonsense. Because people making up stories like this would not have the climax of their religion spoken about in such an anticlimactic way. So that the end of the gospel text says, they ran from the sepulcher and they said nothing to nobody because they were afraid. Right? That's one of the little notes that shows you that the holy Christian faith and the church that is built upon the holy Christian church's faith in Scripture, that is the truth of God. And everything that stands against it, everything that mocks it, will be judged on Judgment Day. Not only does the resurrection of Jesus vindicate him against the blasphemous charges of his enemies, but on the last day, the resurrection of the dead and the day of judgment will vindicate the faith of every Christian who, despite temptation, despite the world's call for another way, the world's tempting them to say that, oh, this, that old religion stuff, it's so Middle Ages, it's so old-timey. That stuff isn't true. We have a new way. We have a new morality. We have a new right and wrong. We have a new religion, all right? That's the world and its enticement. But it all ends in eternal damnation. Only the Holy Church of God, he that endureth to the end in the faith, shall be saved. So on Judgment Day, just as Jesus' resurrection vindicated him against the charges of his foes and his enemies, so it is on the day of judgment we shall be vindicated, for we will, by the grace of God, have endured in the faith unto the end, and we shall be saved. Just a few more things. The rest of chapter 16 of Mark is a very quick group of different appearances of the Lord. And so it says first here that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So this was a very troubled woman, but she was delivered by the Lord. She was saved by the Lord, and she became prominent among the believers and the disciples. And she went and told the disciples, and they didn't believe her. When she said what she saw, they believed her not. Then he appeared in another form to two of them on the road to Emmaus, and they, after they had seen him, he made himself known to them. They went back to the others and said, "We've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord." They didn't believe him, right? They didn't believe him. Afterward, he appeared to the 11. So this is Easter evening. He appears to all 11. And what does he do as they're sitting at meat? He upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart. So now we see that all of the failing, all of the sorrow, all of the trouble that they have put themselves through over the past few days was the result of unbelief and hardness of heart. So Jesus upbraids them for this, for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them which had seen him after he has risen. And he said to them, all right, so now he's upbraided them. Now he says this: "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So this is the divine commission which the church is authorized to carry out. All right? And this is to preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So a person who believes and is baptized shall be saved. "But he that believeth not," he who remains in hard-hearted impenitence, he who says no to the call of repentance, the one who continues in sin and does not believe, shall be damned. "And these signs shall follow them which believe: in my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." This is basically a quick little one-sentence summary of the book of Acts. All right? When you read the book of Acts, you see these things taking place. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with the signs following. So now we have the church going into the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. And notice the last word in it was that the Lord was working with them. "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." He calls us all to think on all that he has done: his incarnation, his teaching, his miracles, his suffering, his death and burial, and finally his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of God. Today we focus on the resurrection and the joy that because he is risen, he is the Son of God. Because he is risen, His doctrine is the truth. Because he is risen, he has conquered death on our behalf. Because he is risen, we know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So rejoice today in Christ our Lord. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.